things were at an all-time sad here. But then I got an email from Ryan that he was coming back to town, and I called the temp agency and I told them, I will pay you any amount, just give me Ryan Howard. Give him to me. I want him. I need him.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, the I don't really know what we're going to talk about edition, but we weren't here last week and we're here this week. Ethan and Ryan coming at you. Surprise, surprise. Ryan, say hello.
What's up, everybody?
Weiss is not able to make it this week due to previous obligations, but Ryan and I are here. We got to take care of the housekeeping first. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. We're everywhere. Hit the subscribe button. Rate us 5 stars. It helps. Every single subscription, rating, it helps. We love you guys. Then go follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow the blog at GothamSN. You can follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanDisdier. And that's about it. A couple other notes I guess I'll throw in here. One, if you haven't already, subscribe to Gotham Front Page. It's the daily podcast. Comes out every morning, 7 a.m. fresh for your commute. And two, I'm going to throw this out there. Knowing that Weiss can't make it, but I'm going to think about doing it anyway. New York Giants draft party. I have a bar in mind, and I figured I will send out a tweet, see who's interested in coming. If there's a decent amount of interest, then I will speak with the bar manager and get something set up. Fun fact, it is a Cowboys bar, so we will take over, and they will watch as we draft the future of our franchise. All right. Ryan and I were talking pre-show. We really have no idea what to talk about. You know, obviously, Super Bowl coming up. And I think since the last episode, both Betcher and McGaughey, I don't even know if that's how you pronounce the name, were hired as a defensive coordinator and special teams coordinator. Let's start with Super Bowl talk for now, just because it's coming up this weekend. Ryan and I seem to have very differing views on how this game's going to go down. Ryan, I feel like I've been doing most of the talking so far with the intro, so I'm going to let you go. Give your take on the Super Bowl, who you think is going to win, and then we will argue from there.
I think as much as I really, it pains me to say, I think the Eagles are going to win, man. I just look at the defensive line they have, and when their secondary is playing well, they're a very, very good defense. And I just don't think the Patriots have enough pass rushers to do enough to disrupt Nick Foles from kind of just sitting back and in a clean pocket and just picking apart a defense like he did with Minnesota. So I think it'll be close. Obviously, it's the Patriots, but if I had to pick today, and, you know, ask me my prediction on Sunday, but as of today, I think the Eagles will win. And I don't know if that's just a microcosm of me living in Eagles territory, but I think it's the Eagles, man.
Well, listen, you were right last week when we made that Twitter AVI bet. I think it's going to go differently this time. I really do. I'm on the Patriots bandwagon, been on the Patriots bandwagon. Those who follow me on Twitter know that if I wasn't a Giants fan, I'd probably be a Patriots fan. Part of that is due to the fact that my father has brainwashed me with the Belichick defensive coordinator talk, and the other part is probably brainwashing from the fact that I went to college right outside Boston. So the Pats are my number two team. I don't think there's any way you can dispute that Brady and Belichick are the greatest coach-quarterback combo of all time, probably each individually the greatest of all time in their respective coaching quarterback positions. You give two of the greatest football minds 2 weeks to game plan. That's it. That's what it comes down to. You give two of the greatest football minds 2 weeks to game plan, and there are some of the best in-game adjustments in football come from the New England Patriots. The Eagles are weak over the middle of the field. I think they're like 19th or 20th in defense in between the hashes. I think that's where they're going to go. Gronk is back and healthy. Again, in-game adjustments, you do make a good point. Like, the Eagles look great. You have to think about it, and I try to internalize this in the way that gamblers do. And the fact is, there's a lot of recency bias going on right now. A lot of people love the Eagles because, you know, they saw last week, wow, the Eagles dominated one of the best defenses in the NFL. Again, you give Belichick and Brady 2 weeks to game plan. This game is going to be way closer. If the Eagles were winning at halftime, that would not surprise me. It's when the Patriots come out in the second half and they've made their necessary adjustments, that's when the game's going to be won. On top of that, something that needs to be addressed. The idiots out there who are Giants fans and pulling for the Eagles. Under no circumstance do you root for a division rival. no circumstance. That's reason number one. You don't root for the Eagles. You never root for the Cowboys. You never root for the Redskins. That's it. That's it. There's no other reasoning. That should be enough. But if that isn't enough, I'll give you two more reasons. One, the previous reason I just mentioned, Bill Belichick, Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator for the New York Giants back in the day. And two, do you really want the asterisk next to Tom Brady's career to be Eli Manning and Nick Foles? No. You want it to be Eli Manning and Eli Manning only. So you are rooting your ass off for the New England Patriots on Sunday evening, and that is it. That's it. That's all there is to it. Diz.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100% about that part. I've had friends who were like, who are you going to root for? And I just take off my Giants shirt, and I've got a Tom Brady jersey on underneath. I am all in on the Patriots. I look at what the Giants did to the Patriots in those two Super Bowls with just the varied blitz packages they can use with their – the bunch of pass rushers they had. The Eagles had the same thing. They got Derek Barnett, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Chris Long, all these guys. The linebackers are really good blitzers as well. And it's just, I feel like the blueprint is there. And as long as they can just kind of keep doing what they're doing, I just don't see a way where they lose unless something crazy happens and Tom Brady is Tom Brady. So, you know, like how when McGregor fought Mayweather, which is another bet I bested you on,
yeah.
McGregor had a puncher's chance. And the Patriots, I think, have a Brady's chance. But I just think that people who were going to this game saying Patriots are definitely going to win because Tom Brady's against Nick Foles, I think that's a really misguided approach. And I'm excited to see what happens, and hopefully I'm proven wrong.
Listen, I'm probably going to bet the Eagles anyway, just in case. If they win, at least I made money. If they lose, then I'm basically paying for a loss, which is okay for me in my book. So, So that's the Super Bowl talk. Let's touch on the Giants' new coordinators. Let's talk about Betcher. You bet your ass for a little bit. This one's real interesting, real exciting. This is a guy who was interviewed actually for head coaching job this year down in Arizona, his former team where he was defensive coordinator before Arians left. Fans should be excited, but don't get too in love with the guy because there's a very good chance within a year or two he's going to be a head coach elsewhere because he is basically being touted as the Sean McVay of defense. 39 years old, runs a 3-4 defense, which is going to be a change for Giants fans, but don't worry, I'll give you reason for hope in a little bit. But you guys should be excited. I'm excited. I got the stats right here. I mean, listen, the Cardinals were one of the number one suitors for Jason Pierre-Paul before he decided to come back to the Giants on a one-year deal. They were still running that 3-4. When he didn't sign, they went out and traded for Chandler Jones, who had 28 sacks in two seasons, I believe. 28 or 26, still an absurd number. 26 sacks, 28 sacks in two seasons, playing in that outside linebacker role. So, you know, to me, people are freaking out and saying, well, it's a 3-4. How are the Giants going to fit Olivier Vernon and Jason Pierre-Paul? Not even a concern. Betcher will figure it out. That's what he's known for, is putting his players in the best position possible to succeed. I'm not worried about Olivier Vernon and Jason Pierre-Paul fitting into his defensive scheme. What I'm worried about is Jason Pierre-Paul and Olivier Vernon's cap hit fitting with the New York Giants. That's a different story from when we talk about maybe we'll get into a little free agency. That's what I'm more concerned about, on top of the inside linebacker situation, because outside of B.J. Goodson, the Giants are going to need to do a lot of work in the draft or free agency to fill the middle of that field. In terms of pass rush and clogging up the middle, I mean, listen, they got some of the best pass rushers and run-stopping guys in the game. Snacks, Tomlinson was one of the best defensive tackle rookies. Olivier Vernon and Jason Pierre-Paul are going to feast as pass rushers in the system, which is something we didn't see with Spags. So you should be excited. And when Betcher was in his three seasons as defensive coordinator, the Cardinals didn't finish lower than sixth in team defense, and they had the second highest blitz rate in the NFL. So we haven't seen a lot of, you know, different looks and pressure from Spags, or as much as we had hoped over the last few years. That's going to change with Betcher, so get excited.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I saw a lot of people on Twitter once the hiring was made official complaining and kind of afraid about the 3-4, and they were like, well, our players don't fit the 3-4, and now Landon Collins is going to have to switch to linebacker. And I was like, what? How does that make any sense? This is a great hire, and like you said, Sean McVay of defensive coaches, I think this was a real home run by the Giants. And, you know, even though they missed out on some fan favorites for the head coaching job, they missed out on McDaniels and Patricia and went with Shurmur eventually, which is still a great hire. I think this is a real there's no other way to look at this hiring as the new defensive coordinator as anything but positive. I think kind of like Shermer's offense, how he gets the most out of his players there. I think Betcher is a perfect example of someone who gets the most out of his players on defense. And I think for so many, or not so many, but for the past just this year, and then, you know, with Perry Fuel and all these just terrible defenses the Giants have been rolling out ever since Spags left after 08, this is great. This is a really good hire, and I'm excited to see what these guys can do, especially, particularly, Devon Kennard if he's brought back. I think there's a ton of untapped potential there as a pass rusher, so really excited for that.
Yep, agree. And not only that, not only James Betcher, who's 39, going young again with Thomas McGaughey. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm probably not. Special teams coordinator from Carolina. He's only 44, so we got a young staff. Shermer's the old man in the building at 52 years old. People should also be very, very excited about McGaughey. Panthers special teams finished 7th overall in Football Outsiders DVOA for every single special teams unit, and number 10 in Rick Gosselin's annual special teams rankings. The Giants were 32nd, safe to say. It's an improvement, and I've said it time and time again. I've said it on the podcast. I've said it on Twitter. There was not a single moment in the last 5 seasons that I have felt confident that the Giants would be able to bring one to the house on a punt return, on a kick return, outside of when they let Odell return punts for like 2 seconds. So it's a much needed change. Tom Quinn, he sucks ass. He's out of here. Total switch up. John Mara wasn't kidding when he said that this organization needed a revamp. He went out there. They got a bunch of young guys. Bunch of young guys you should be excited about. That's really all I got to say about McGaughey. Honestly, it's addition by subtraction. Getting rid of Tom Quinn and whoever else you bring in is going to be better, but they did get someone who's quality, so I'm not worried.
I think the special teams hire, I don't even want to try to pronounce that name because I know I'm going to butcher it. I think this is a better hire than Betcher. I think for so long, all the Giants special teams have been so bad. Every single facet of the special teams has been terrible. And I don't know how Tom Quinn has been sticking around so long. You must know where bodies are buried, but it just... The fact that he's gone is so relieving, and I think it's something to note, and obviously they're completely different players, not even in the same stratosphere, but when Ted Ginn was starting for the Panthers, he was also returning their kicks, or their punts, rather, so I'm interested to see what the new special teams coordinator wants to do with the punt return duties moving forward.
Yeah, definitely. That's really all I got. Do you have anything else you want to touch on? We can get into some questions. Like I said, going to be a short episode. Not much to talk about. It's been sort of quiet, at least until pre-draft and free agency starts heating up a little bit more.
No, I think that's it for me. I think I did see somewhere that the Giants had hired someone for either the offensive line, I think. I didn't really – yeah, they hired Hal Hunter as the new offensive line coach. I don't know who that is, so I don't want to say anything because that would be super ignorant of me, but – people are saying it's a good hire on Twitter, just scrolling right now, so that's something to note.
There you go. All right, let's get into some questions. From Ben Shadow Obey, expectations on what players stay, leave, and restructure their contract. Anybody that comes to mind right away for you?
I think they'll ask Eli to restructure his contract. Brandon Marshall, absolutely. I know that he's said that he wants to be back on the team, but they're not going to keep him for that cap figure. So if he wants to stick around, he's going to have to take a large pay cut, similar to what Victor Cruz did prior to last season. DRC, I think, will probably be gone. Either DRC or Marshall, one of them 100% I think will be gone. I wouldn't be surprised if both are, but I think one they'll keep around and just restructure, maybe DRC so they can sprinkle him in at free safety a little bit. In terms of people who I would like to see stay, I'm big on Justin Pugh. I'm a big Justin Pugh guy in terms of leadership, versatility, the fact that he can play every position along the offensive line. It's such an underrated thing, and it doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but that's kind of invaluable, especially with all the injuries the Giants have sustained along the offensive line over the past few years. I think Weston Richburg's gone. You can get the cheaper option with Brett Jones. And like I said earlier, I would like Devon Kennard to be back. Also would like Ross Cockrell and DJ Fluger to return on team-friendly deals.
There you go. Yes on Cockrell. Yes on Fluger. No on Marshall. No on Richburg. Yes on Pugh for the two reasons you mentioned, primarily for me, versatility. Trying to think who else here. I'm a big DRC guy. I'm in favor of keeping DRC. I think Eli would be wise to restructure his contract, because if he actually wants to have a successful season, that's going to require cap for the offensive line. I still believe that they'll try to move one of Pierre-Paul or Vernon. I know that both can fit in the scheme, but it's a numbers game, and both of those contracts are very, very heavy. So I expect one of them to at least be tried to move, although, with the hit, it's going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah, I also think, I believe Keenan Robinson, Jonathan Casillas, and Herzlick are all, going to be free agents. I think they're all gone.
Yeah, adios. We don't need you. From Rob Air One, do you guys think Betcher makes a massive difference in the performance of the defense next year, or do you think there will be a learning curve to adapt to Betcher's system and results will take more time? I feel like most teams under new coaching staffs, there's not a learning curve, but, game speed is totally different than practice. So learning curve, I don't know, but there will be like a short adjustment period. Obviously going to make a massive difference. I think the fact that he ran the second most blitz heavy defense in the league is going to be huge, especially when you have guys like Landon Collins and DRC back there who have the speed and the size to rush the passer from the back. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be a huge difference. Spags is trash. I've said it over and over. His defenses are trash. His schemes are trash. He doesn't, accommodate to his player strengths and weaknesses. Betcher does all those things.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. And I think that there definitely will be a learning curve, but the talent's there, like you said. So yeah. When the talent's there, it makes adjusting to everything in-game so much easier. And I will say one thing that people should absolutely expect from this new Betcher-led defense is no more Snacks Harrison in pass coverage on third down.
Crazy. Here we go from Chan. How many starting offensive linemen next season do you think are new faces? That's the first question.
Left tackle, definitely.
Yep.
Got one of the guard positions in right tackle, so it's three.
Yeah. Definitely three, maybe four.
Yeah, it's
I think
very
the only
possible.
I think the only guarantee that's back is Pugh. And honestly, that's if he wants to stay.
Yeah, I would say the only one who's guaranteed to be back is Brett Jones. Yeah. Just because he's so inexpensive with the restricted free agency.
Yeah, no, agree there. Number two, rank the offensive line free agents. They're really trash except for Norwell. Again,
I like Solder.
Yeah, no, I like Solder too. I've been a Solder guy, but there was more like if Patricia had come over, get him to take a little discount. I don't know. Just because he's a left tackle, and if he hits the free agent market, like someone's going to overpay for him, and he's average, you know?
Yeah, exactly. He's probably the perfect example of a middle-of-the-road left tackle, but he can be. I think he can be kind of a perfect bridge guy for when the Giants can get a better option, a long-term solution. He'd be able to kind of just fill the gap until then. I also think I read somewhere that Josh Sitton, Bears might cut him. So if he becomes available, that would be another huge person to watch in the free agent market.
Yeah, the problem for Norwell is he's going to get so much money that, again, like the Giants need to restructure Eli, get rid of Pierre-Paul or Vernon. Like something needs to happen. I think, worst case scenario, Gettleman gets to start a bidding war between his old team and his new team. And then, it's a win-win for him. But would you support a trade down from two? If so, how far down and what player would you want? It's tough, man. Like, listen, the Rams proved that you could do it either way, right? You could take your guy at two or you could sell for a ransom. And a lot of those guys became key pieces on their team. At this point in time, I say no. I say just take Rosen and be done with it. Get your future quarterback, and then you still have like a very high pick in the second round. So, unless it's a king's ransom, just stay. There's no
point. Yeah, I say the exact same thing. Just stay where you are at two, get Sam Darnold, and then just be done with it. It's that simple.
Oh, fuck off.
I'm back. I'm all in on Sam Darnold now. Ever since Shurmur and Gettleman pretty much said, hey, Eli's going to come back for at least 1 year, I am all in on the Darnold bandwagon.
All right, we'll fight about that another time. And then his last question, Flowers comeback player of the year or Trump impeachment, which is more likely? Probably Trump impeachment. Flowers is trash.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. This is from a James Betcher parody account. Lovely.
Oh, my God.
Would it be idiotic to not draft at least two offensive linemen? I know best player available. But we are in serious trouble if we don't drastically upgrade the offensive line. I mean, yeah, like they're going to take offensive line. If they decide to trade back, the first round pick is probably going to be an offensive lineman. And then they'll probably have two more second round picks. So,
yeah,
you know, they'll spend it on offensive linemen. But again, it depends on the value and if it's there. That's, I mean, that's a cop-out answer, but that's the truth.
Yeah, I mean, Gettleman didn't come in his introductory press conference and say, I think you win through the offensive line and then go into the draft and not draft two offensive linemen. Yeah. It's going to happen whether it's round 2 and 3 or round 6 and 5. So yeah. It's going to happen. Also, so many parody accounts, man. There's the Betcher one, the Shermer one, the Gettleman one, the Merrill one. Too many.
There's
too
so many. What are the chances of keeping Pugh and Richburg / what are the chances he brings in Norwell or Solder? I mean, we just spoke about that, so I'll skip over. What linebacker do you think the Giants should target, draft, or free agency to help them transition to a 3-4? I'd say Zach Brown. I got no answer for this one.
I'd say Todd Davis from Denver. He's super good, and I really wanted him before, but in a 4-3, it didn't really make sense with B.J. Goodson there. But now that switching over possibly to a 4-3, but switching over to a 3-4 now possibly, I think he'd be a perfect fit, and that would be a really low-key great signing.
Yep. Oh, lovely, a Pat Shermer parody account. When am I invited to talk about my coaching plans? Never. You run a parody account. This is a non-Giants trade question that Nick wants our thoughts on. About the Jaguars. Do they trade up in the first and take Mayfield or Lamar Jackson, similar to what the Texans did last year? This way, after 2018, they don't have to overpay Bortles because he's because let's be honest, if they had an above-average quarterback, they'd be a powerhouse of a team. Plus, Bortles has wrist surgery today, and they can't cut him if he's considered injured, so his salary next year becomes guaranteed in March. Could use him as part of the trade. Yeah, I mean, I think the Jaguars have to look at quarterback possibilities simply for the fact that they've proven they could win with someone like Bortles, and now they're going to have to pay him. So why not look to draft someone young and cheap who can just be, at worst, a game manager? Don't know if they'd be looking to trade up that high because that's going to be an expensive pick with the number of teams looking for a quarterback. But I honestly think if they just sit back and wait, there'll be someone there who's worth the value.
I think they're going to be looking for a quarterback before the draft. So whether trying to get a guy like Tyrod Taylor or maybe get like Sam Bradford on a 1-year deal, I think that's kind of the move for the Jaguars. Where I obviously have no inside knowledge of the team or anything like that, but I feel like it makes more sense for them to bring in a proven vet who, if Bortles isn't performing well in like week 4, you know, you can turn to him, and it's just it's pretty much what they have with Chad Henne, just a better player than that. So when they do turn over and they're like, hey, Bortles isn't getting it done, we got to go to this guy, it's not some rookie who's never played before. It's some guy who they know can come in, manage a game, hopefully get them back to the playoffs and maybe to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Let's see here. Let's wrap up. Gettleman's left nut. Flowers to the Browns for a cardboard cutout of Joe Thomas. Sure, I'll take it.
Yes.
All right. That's going to be it. Real short episode this week. Diz, any final thoughts?
No, just looking forward to bringing down more draft film, mostly of the quarterbacks. Stop talking to me about why Saquon Barkley makes more sense than the quarterbacks. I don't want to hear it. Stop pointing to Zeke Elliott as your example. He was running behind 3 All-Pros, not Eric Flowers and Brett Jones. Please, just come to grips with the fact that you take a quarterback at 2 unless you're the Browns and plan to be back next year. Jesus.
All right, there it is. The end rant from Diz. All right, again, follow us on Twitter, at Ryan Dizdier, at Ethan GSN, at Gotham SN. Subscribe on all mediums, rate us 5 stars, and let me know if you want to do a draft party. We'll speak to you guys next week.